Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and other creatures, we now return you to the incendiary, why aren't you listening, Halloween special shedcast. Thank you.
Now, for our more dreadful sacrifice. Welcome, fool. You have come of your own free will to the appointed place. The game's over. Time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
late one night when the moon shone bright, I was passing the cemetery. When a bite on the cheek left me feeling weak, that's where I met Vampire Mary. When I looked around, I was flat on the ground with a big black thing above me. Are we gonna get wet or you end up dead? She says, now do you love me? Lips are blue, eyes are red, I laugh like gurgling water, but I can't resist that passionate kiss. I'm in love with Dracula's daughter. She gave me a peck that left me a wreck and said it'll settle, laddie. And after that we gon' meet the old bat. You must come and see my daddy. Well, we climbed a tree and I says, can we please pardon my intrusion? Well, he gave me a grin and said, my, you're thin, you could do with a blood transfusion. Lips are blue, eyes are red, I laugh like gurgling water, but I can't resist that passionate kiss. I'm in love with Dracula's daughter. It's the yellow moon and we dance around the campfire. Says Mary to me when the clock strikes three, you're a genuine grade A vampire. Now hear me right, if you're out at night, run as fast as your leg will let you. Cause if you don't run, I'm telling you, son, Mary and I'll get you. Lips are blue, eyes are red, I laugh like gurgling water, but I can't resist that passionate kiss. I'm in love with Dracula's daughter, with Dracula's daughter, with Dracula's.
The Petrification of Philippa Hess by Damien Leslie and Andrew L. Pechorik. 6 Pullman Place is on top of a hill where the sun disappears at night. But down in the valley where the wind brings a chill is where Philippa perished with fright. 6 Pullman Place was poor Philippa's home with her parents and cat, Mr. Moe. But into the park late at night, all alone, did that silly Philippa go. She'd heard all the stories had Philippa Hess of that madman, old Hermit Lee, but thought little of them, a legend at best, till she followed her cat through the trees. Philippa followed her cat through the wood till they came to an enchanted place, where bright bluebells covered the floor where she stood, and a breeze brushed by Philippa's face. A large English oak towered up from the ground, but its roots were all twisted in knots. From somewhere beneath came a low moaning sound that Philippa liked not a lot. At the foot of the tree was a very big hole with a path that ran deep underground. From out of the chasm came a wind bitter cold, and it carried that terrible sound. She watched Mr. Moe, her cat and best friend, walk into the darkness beneath. As she crept slowly forward, a voice shouted, "No!" And it came from a man with bad teeth. "Come away from that hole, little girl," said the man, whose hair almost covers his face. "Run away whilst it's light. Go home while you can. Get away from this terrible place." "I'm not going nowhere," cried Philippa Hess. "Not at least till I find my cat. I'll do what I like and what I think is best, so what do you think about that? Pay attention, young miss, to what I have to say. I am the Mad Hermit Lee, after all. This is my cave, and it's no place to play. So be gone before night starts to fall. I cannot go home without dear Mr. Moe. He's my very best friend for all time. Mr. Moe led me here, and he went down below, so I must follow behind. Girl, you must listen. You don't have much time, said the hermit, while scratching his head. Get away from this hole. Your cat will be fine. But follow him, and you will be dead. This place is not safe for humans to be. It's where evil and nasty things dwell. You shouldn't be here, so listen to me and trot along home, safe and well. A scared little girl was Philippa Hess, so off through the woods she did run, till she ran till her heart nearly beat through her chest, and a fire built up in each lung. That night after tea, as the sun set outside, she went up the stairs, off to bed, but stared out of the window, down the hillside, as bad thoughts swam about in her head. Oh dear, my poor Mr. Moe, I've notions so bad in my mind, that nasty old hobo would not let me below, but I should never have left you behind. Her parents sat watching their television screen, and drinking their tea, weak and sweet, as Philippa crept past the sofa unseen, and out of the door, down the street. From 6 Pullman Place, she ran quick down the hill and into the park down below. The moon's face was full and the air was quite still as she went off to find Mr. Moe. Dressed in her slippers and pretty nightgown, poor Philippa felt very cold, but clambering over the stile, she stepped down and followed the path rather bold. Eerie and strange did that path feel at night, for gone was the brightness of day. The branches of trees tried to shut out the light, and brambles and thorns blocked the way. Philippa fought with a large bush of brambles that scratched little marks in her skin. Amidst the thorns her pyjamas got tangled, and she thought then about giving in. But onward she struggled in darkness so grim she could hardly see past her own nose, scratched, bumped and bruised and freezing within, with mud squelching between her toes. She vowed to continue and stay out all night to find that strange place she had seen. Then, off in the distance, she saw a faint light and sparkles of purple and green. "I found it!" she cried, as she gazed at the tree and the cave at its foot, all aglow. She looked all around for Mad Hermit Lee, then followed the path down below. Philippa followed the path underground, which was slippery and very steep. She tripped on a root and fell hard to the ground and lay in an untidy heap. She picked herself up from that wet, muddy floor and could not believe her own eyes, for there, up ahead, nailed to a big door, was the man she had grown to despise. The Mad Hermit Lee had large nails in his hands and whip marks all over his thighs. His legs had been tied with big rubber bands and something had gouged out his eyes. Philippa screamed but continued to stare at the body of Mad Hermit Lee. A sign on the door read, "You humans beware and stay well away from me tree." She wanted to run, and she should have done so, and I wish I could tell you she did, but Philippa opened that door down below and did what the hermit forbid. She opened the door and wandered inside. She gasped at the sight of the king, who cackled and laughed and rolled his three eyes and said, "Well, hello there, young thing." The Goblin King seized her with both his long arms and threw her down to the floor. He bound her with ribbons and thousands of charms and said, "Your home you will see nevermore. A warning was issued to you and your kind, but you silly wee humans refuse to take heed of what is written on signs, and so your wee lives you will lose." The Goblin King dragged the poor girl by her hair. She screamed out loud, "Please let me go!" The place that he took her, I shall not say where, for it's somewhere that no one should know.
I, Grixel, will show you what's right and what's wrong, the king said whilst picking his nose. And once you meet Grixel and hear his song, you will be eternally froze.
Philippa struggled as hard as she could, but the binds wrapped around her were cursed. All of her wriggling did her no good. In fact, it just made matters worse. Like a carcass on a butcher's hook, the Goblin King hung the poor lass from a tree. He pulled from his satchel a battered old book. Then he danced and he giggled with glee. Grixel the Goblin King opened his tome and read from the book loud and clear.
As solid as stone, we can turn skin and bone, and the heart we can fill with a fear.
The Goblin King stared into Philippa's eyes, then sang in a language of old, a spell that caused tears to well in her eyes, and her blood to turn black and run cold. As the Goblin King stared into her frightened face, he kissed her and sucked out her soul. Her tears turned to stone as they ran down her face, and her skin turned the colour of coal. Away from her cat, her kin, and her kith, trapped in this goblin nest, transformed from girl to cold monolith, was poor young Philippa Hess. Transfixed in eternal reflection, boys and girls stood like figures of chess. Fresh to this ghastly collection was the figure of Philippa Hess. Many children have vanished down the years, victims of goblin witchcraft. Many parents have shed many tears, whilst goblins have sneered and laughed. For a girl to get so forlorn is truly a terrible shame, so horrendous to become a pawn in a nasty, goblin-esque game. Goblins, they have no compassion. Their sins, they never repent. Kindness is not to their fashion, and the children, they never relent. Back home on the bed lay Mr. Moe, cosily awaiting the return of the child. The sad fact the cat did not know, that she was forever lost to the wild. Six Pullman Place is on top of the hill, where the sun disappears at night. Down in the valley stands Philippa still, that poor little girl who perished with fright.
I'm a vampire, baby, sucking blood from the earth. I'm a vampire, baby, sucking blood from the earth. I'm a vampire, baby. Sell you 20 barrels worth. I'm a black bat, baby, hanging on your window pane. I'm a black bat, baby, hanging on your window pane. My high octane.
Get it, Grant.
Times are coming, but they sure come in slow. Good times are coming, I hear it everywhere. everywhere I go. Good times are coming, but they sure is coming slow.
That's all right, that's all right.
How to see ghosts or surely bring them to you. This part of the book is for children who were born in the morning or around lunchtime. If you were born at midnight, some say just at twilight, you were probably born with the gift of being able to see ghosts and other spirits and don't have to be told how. Of course, all cats, dogs, horses, and roosters can see ghosts, but lots of people cannot see ghosts, even though they can usually hear them. And lots of people don't believe in ghosts because they say they never saw one. So anyone who wants to see a ghost, here's how. If you really mean it, if you really want to see a ghost, go walk around a grave 12 times backward, and the ghost will rise and ask you what you want. Some people say that just walking around the grave will raise the ghost, and some say you have to do it backward 12 times. Or if you want to summon some one particular ghost, go to his grave at night and call him by name. He will rise and tell you what you want to know. Some ghosts can be summoned by music. If you sing or play some piece of music or some special musical instrument that someone loved, especially during life, the ghost will come to see you. Some people say that you can raise a ghost by whistling. You might, and you might not. It has happened. Once a man was walking along a road at night, whistling some tune, and a ghost fell into step beside him, whistling the same tune. You can call back some loved ghost by too much grief and weeping. Almost any ghost will come back to comfort those they love and stop their weeping. The poor souls cannot rest if you weep too much. They will come back and beg you to let them rest. You can become a ghost seer by looking in through a hole in a coffin. This is especially true in some far northern countries, like Lithuania, for instance, where people leave little windows in the coffin so the dead can see out. You can see ghosts and spirits by peering at them from between a dog's ears. It is well known that dogs can see ghosts. So if you look steadily from between a dog's ears in the direction the dog is looking, you will see the same ghost he sees. You can see ghosts sometimes if you gaze steadily through a ring. If you look through a keyhole, you'll either see a ghost or the devil. In fact, there's no telling what you might see. Better not. Just say you aren't scared. Just say how brave and nonchalant you'd be if you ever saw a ghost. And see what happens.
No doubt there are some among you who will doubt the truth of what I'm about to say, or doubt the reality of what you're about to see. But believe me, my friends, this is no fake. Before your very eyes is all that remains of a vampire, one of the world's undead. Dare I but remove this stake from where his heart once beat, and he would rise from the grave within which he lies, and turn into a bat, a vampire bat, would feed hideously upon the living whose veins pulsate with warm and vibrant blood. Ladies and gentlemen, the actual skeleton of Count Dracula, the vampire. Furthermore, my friends, one single ray of sunlight falling upon a vampire will destroy him.
Escúchame un momento o dos y confesaré a vosotros. No puedo evitar mirando las mujeres siniestras. Tengo que reconocer, voy a notar la vampiresa mujer. No es la máscara ni la falda ajustada, sino el temor causada por su fría mirada. Vampiresada, vampiresa mujer, vampiresada, vampiresa mujer, vampiresada, vampiresa mujer. Estoy impresionada cuando se ve vampiresada. Toma el vino, toma mezcal, haz sacrificio ritual. Vampiresada, vampiresa mujer. Estoy impresionada cuando se ve vampiresada. Feliz, está normal, trabaja por la industria sexual. Vampiresada, vampiresa mujer. Estoy impresionada cuando se ve vampiresada. Si te caes amigo, no me río de ti. Me pasó la misma cosa, mi vampiresada. Vampiresa mujer, estoy impresionada cuando se ve vampiresada. Vampiresada, vampiresa mujer, vampiresada, vampiresa mujer. Estoy impresionada cuando se ve vampiresada.
Surely you must have read Hamlet at some time or other in your life. If you did, do you recall that line? There are more things in heaven and hell, Horatio, than ever dreamed of in your philosophy. Well, the strange tale that I'm about to tell you is something like that. My story has to do with traveling and automobiles and a little girl. Do you believe that the dead can influence the living? But come, Listen to the incredible history of Martin Cable and the little girl in the polka dot dress. The road was dark and winding that grim night that Martin Cable drove his sedan towards Webb Center. The rain slashed, howled, tore at the windows, and Martin Cable was worried. His headlights had fused out, and driving in unfamiliar territory down an unknown road on such a dreadful night was not the safest thing in the world. But Martin Cable was due in Webb Center on an important business meeting that could mean a whole new life for him. And so he drove on, taking his chances with the weather, with the car, with his life. Suddenly, through the windshield wipers mopping furiously at the glass, Martin Cable saw a flash of something up ahead, a white face in the darkness. Hurriedly, he slammed on the brakes and the car swerved to a halt. Martin Cable peered out onto the road. There was a little girl standing there in a polka dot dress, the rain pelting at her viciously, making of her hair a tangled mess. The child's face was chalk white and ghostly, and before Martin Cable could ask her anything, she came forward and put one tiny hand on the car window and pointed down the road. "Mister," her small voice was pitiful, "you better turn left here. There's a big hole in the ground just ahead. You can't go that way." Gratefully, Martin Cable thanked her and asked her if he could give her a lift home. She shook her head and indicated a grey cottage just to the right of the road. "I'll be all right," she said. "I live just there." So Martin Cable took the turn off and arrived safely at his destination, tired and shaken, but thankful that the little girl had saved his life. The next day, when he inquired about the road, the hotel clerk told him that a rock slide had made an immense pit on the road that would kill anyone who fell into it. Well, Martin Cable completed his business in Webb Center, paid a visit to a toy store, and drove back the way he had come. He decided to repay the little girl for her kindness of the night before. When he drew his car up to the grey cottage, a peaceful serenity hung over the walls and the windows. Martin Cable, with his gift under his arm, knocked loudly on the little oaken door. A small, grey-haired woman came to see who it was, and Martin Cable introduced himself and explained his visit. He wanted to see the little girl, he said. "What little girl?" the woman asked. Martin Cable rushed on to tell about the rain and being lost and saved from certain death. "And describe her to me," the lady said. "What was she wearing?" Confused, Martin Cable mentioned the polka dot dress, but he didn't understand until the lady shook her head sadly. "Yes," she said, "it was Madeline. Once a year she comes to that part of the road and warns some traveller away from the very spot. It's been like that for 5 years now." But Martin Cable was dumbfounded. What did the woman mean? Yet it was all very simple. Madeline was my daughter, and 5 years ago she died in an accident at the place where she told you to turn. You see, she got run over by a car there. Curious, isn't it? A little girl returning like that to warn the unwary traveller away from death. Oh yes. If you're driving tonight, do be careful. There might be a nasty break in the road.
Teenage werewolf. go tell a little sad tale to all you people out there.
He has always been. He tells me what to do. He buys my Metallica records for me. And sometimes I think
How's that food?
Great. Really good. Thank you.
Good. Now then, tell me again about this train you mentioned.
Well, I was heading home and I had to stop because the crossing went down, and then this woman, she just walked out.
A woman, you said?
Yeah. She just walked out in front of the train. I mean, I yelled to her. She just walked straight. Then I thought she'd been hit. She should have been hit where she was standing and that, but she was still there. Then I saw her and she just looked at me.
And then you woke up in the woods.
Something like that.
This woman, was she pale?
Like a ghost.
What colour were her eyes?
I don't know.
She looked at you, didn't she?
Yes, but I don't... Red. Blood red.
Well, we're in deeper trouble than I thought. If she's after you, we'd better be alert. Now then, how's that leg of yours?
Sore, but I'll live.
That's the spirit.
At least the bleeding stopped.
I'm sure it looks worse than it actually is, what with all the mud and the grime on that rag, of course.
It's better than it was, at least.
Well, can you stand on it?
I think so. Why?
Because we've got some preparations to make. If we're going to last the night, we're going to have to strengthen our defences.
Say we're born into the
And of course, ladies, gentlemen, and small children with big ears, we have been listening to the Incendiary Magazine Halloween Wind You Listening Special Shedcast, Part 2. Part 2 included Fred Myro and Malcolm Seagrove's Phantasm introduction and main title theme, taken from the movie Phantasm, and of course, played from the Phantasm soundtrack CD. You heard an excerpt from the film The Wicker Man with Christopher Lee talking about your appointment with The Wicker Man, and that was of course taken from The Wicker Man soundtrack. The Creed Taylor Orchestra played Haunted House, which was taken from the album Shock, and Screamin' Lord Sutch played you a song called Dracula's Daughter. The story Petrification of Philippa Hess was taken from the series Howden's Children, written by Damien Leslie and Andrew L. Pechorek. Mercury Rev entertained you with a live version of the Neil Young song Vampire Blues, which was taken from their CD Delta Son Bottleneck Stomp. LJ Johnson put some soul into this evening's progress with the song Your Magic Put a Spell on Me before some werewolves howled, and then Vincent Price appeared to tell you how to see ghosts or surely bring them to you from his album A Hornbook for Witches. Caius were up next with the mighty song Demon Cleaner, taken from the wonderful album Welcome to Sky Valley, and then we heard an excerpt from the film Son of Frankenstein, where Boris Karloff spoke to you about the vampire. And that was, of course, taken from the wonderful album An Evening with Boris Karloff. Jonathan Richman played Vampireza Mouge, and apologies once again if my pronunciation is not correct. Boris Karloff returned once more to read you a story called Voice from the Grave, and that was taken from the album Tales of the Frightened. The Cramps entertained you with the song called I Was a Teenage Werewolf, before we heard some screaming, and then Satan is My Master, Live at Ziggy's by Ben Folds 5, taken from the album Naked Baby Photos. You heard an excerpt from the Halloween soundtrack entitled Trick or Treat, which was, of course, taken from the 20th anniversary Halloween soundtrack CD. To round off part 2, we heard Alison Chains with the song Them Bones, taken from the wonderful album Dirt. And there we end part 2 of this Incendiary Magazine Why Aren't You Listening Halloween Special Shedcast, and we will return to your ears shortly with part 3. Goodbye for now.